Good morning.
Good morning.
I was kind of hoping they were going to stay up there and sing a couple more. They weren't moving. Welcome to everyone. It's good to see everyone here today. And we do have a few announcements. Our bulletin today, you're going to have to bounce around a little bit to find a few things because there's so much in it. I think page 4 is page 3 and kind of like that type of thing. We tried to put all the responses in there, so you don't really have to look up a whole lot. I'd like to give an update on Rogine LaPlante. Rogine went to the emergency room on Monday. She's got admitted to the hospital by Tuesday, and then later in the week, she was taken to Valerie Manor. She had a little couple of episodes there, kind of went downhill, but she's kind of fighting back, and they've got her up and walking. So that makes her feel really good that she's moving and everything. So if you want to send her a card, that would be, it's room 116. Just send her a card. Try to lift her spirits. I think she needs it. She's alone probably for the first time in 73 years. So there's a lot going on. We do have a meeting coming up. We have a meeting next week. But we have a meeting this week, right after, we're gonna have coffee and something to eat downstairs after church, then we'll meet back here at 11:30. Okay? Christmas Eve is the 24th, it's inside your bulletin, please check that out. It's at 4 o'clock, and we'll have Yulita at 6:30, so I'm sure you'll all be back for Yulita. So that's a good thing. Does anyone have anything else they would like to bring up or share this morning? Mary?
Just briefly, the Women Ministry's Christmas party is this Wednesday at 6 in the fellowship room downstairs. Bring an appetizer if you're so inclined, a grab bag, something for the mitten tree if you would like to, and plan on having a wonderful time.
Okay, and I ask you please, not now, but sometime later when you take your bulletin home, there's a meditation on the back that you can read and meditate on a little bit if you would like. Please let us stand now for our introit, number 153 in the blue hymnal.
Touch their hearts.
Fire burns, it hurts, it can destroy. Fire also gives warmth and light. The coming of Christ is both a day of judgment and a day of promise. Two candles flickering brightly help us remember that the coming of Christ has many meanings.
Steadfast love and faith will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. Light two candles, see them glow brightly so that all may know how two candles show the way, making our darkness bright as God's day.
Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. Please join me in the response.
Dear God, we have much to do, and we are not sure we will be ready for the day we're coming. In Advent's light, help us to see what is important, to be who you want us to be, and to do what you will have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Lord. We praise and adore you. You have challenged us in words of the prophets Isaiah and John. You have shown us in Jesus what you are really like. Lord, we adore you because you still come to us now. You come to us through your light of hope. You come to us as we worship in your light of peace. Lord God, we adore you because you promise to come to us in the end. You reign supreme when all else fails. Remind us that you are the light of the world. We welcome you, the God who comes. Come to us now in the power of Jesus Christ our Lord, as we pray the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and that's found on page 558 in your Pew Bible. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. And our second reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And that's found on page 784 in your pew Bible. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke of. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his way straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And this is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Gather in this sanctuary among so many just friends and family, and the sense of excitement, the sense of exuberance over the season, it's palpable here this morning, where you can feel it, and I thank you for that, Father. As we join in this anticipation of the coming of your Son, of this greatest gift that anyone could give, I ask that we would remember that it is up to us, as church, as fellowship, as family, to bring forth upon this country that wants to turn this season into a commercial enterprise. It's our job, it's our duty to show the true meaning of what this season is supposed to be, which is about what it is just this morning. It's not about presents. It's not about buying the best and the greatest. It's not about buying the newest. It's about showing the traits of this Savior that is about, that we're anticipating the birth of love, of compassion. So many of us in this room will leave here today and not be surrounded by people that and family. There's a sense of loneliness that comes along with this season. There's people who struggle with depression. There's people who just don't know you, Lord. And I pray with all that I have that this congregation, this family, would turn around and be the embodiment of what Christ is to us. What we are supposed to be celebrating, the anticipation of the Savior that we all need, and the story that we should be telling everybody that we meet. There is an answer to the troubles in the world. It's not hopeless. We are to be the bringers of hope, Lord. So for Father, for all the people that we know, as we walk out of here today, let us seek out those people that need to hear this, that need to know the real and true meaning of Christmas. In our hearts, we know who they are. In our hearts, we know we meet them every day. Give us the courage and the boldness of spirit to actually intervene and show the world what the true meaning of the Advent season is about. And I ask that in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, whose birth we come here to just anticipate. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. I ask you would pray this in the bulletin as a confession of sin. You would do that with me. Stand. We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart.
We go about our lives as if Christmas is an event to be celebrated, but not lived. We hear good news, but do not heed it. We turn away from the Holy Family, for there is no room in our hearts. We hear the cry of the expected mother, desperate for care and a place to lie. But listen instead to the care of us. We see the lowly children, born in mangers among the filth of the world. But we look instead to the decorations. We hear the call of the angels to come and worship the newborn king. But we bow down to the idols of our culture. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us and free us for a joyful obedience. Remove the barriers that we construct and empower us to be a people doing the real, really, holy, graceful, loving work of Christmas every day. In the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray.
Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. And we know if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. My favorite part of Christmas is always the cookies and all of the joy, all of the things that we prayed against. These 4 weeks coming up to Christmas is kind of the dark time. It's a time in the world before Christ comes. The time before we had the gift of Jesus Christ before us. Our gospel this morning focuses on John the Baptist, but John's focus is on the one who is to come, the one who is more powerful and greater than he is. It's interesting as we travel through Advent, through the darkness, waiting for our Savior to be born, Matthew is telling us of Jesus' life, he jumps from chapter 2, where Jesus is running with his mother and father to get away. They're heading to Judea. And all of a sudden we jump in chapter 3 and we're back to Jesus 35 years old or 30 years old. It's kind of amazing. But Luke gives us a thorough telling of how John the Baptist came to be born, who he is. His parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth, both priestly lines of Levites. And the important part that he would play in preparing the way for the coming of Christ. Before he was born, the angels told his father, John, about a man that John would become. He will turn many children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go before him in spirit and empower Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make everyone ready and prepared for the Lord. Matthew's gospel introduces John the Baptist already doing exactly that. Matthew describes the time as in those days. The prophet has already taken up residence as a preacher in the wilderness of Judea, which was some rough. It was a dry territory. It was a dry country. It was located west of the Jordan River near the Dead Sea. His location meant that anyone who wanted to listen to John and his amazing sermons had to come to him. He was not going to go into the high-trafficked area of Israel to be heard. John was called a Baptist because baptizing people as a sign of repentance from sin was the cornerstone of his ministry. In the season of Advent, John the Baptist is preparing the way for Jesus. Matthew 3:2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who he spoke of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight a path for him. In these often very complicated times, how refreshing it is to hear a clear and straightforward message. Repent, sort out your priorities, and take stock in your life. Repent, change your hearts. Are you ready to do this? Are you prepared to change if needed? Isaiah 11 sends us back to the origins of the Messiah's destiny, the stem of Jesse. David was the youngest son of Jesse and probably the last person you would ever expect to be anointed king. However, in the passage of time, the house of David became so decimated, it was left to be just a stump. Yet out of this root, there would spring a shoot which would grow up into expected righteousness branch. Jeremiah 23:5. The reference to the coming of the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Isaiah 11:2 points us to Jesus, the Messiah. 11:2 speaks of the manifestation of the Spirit of the Lord in Jesus' life in several different ways. Of these, wisdom and understanding together touch upon intellect. Counsel and might pertain to practical ability. Knowledge and fear of the Lord are gifts of piety. Now, John the Baptist has been sent by God for two specific reasons. He had been sent to preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Luke 3:3. And he had been sent to go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him in Luke 1:76. Those wouldn't have seemed to be difficult missions for John to understand. For 6 months or more, John has been preaching persuasive messages, condemning sin and calling for repentance. People came in droves to hear his powerful sermons and to be baptized him in the Jordan. But then along comes Jesus, along comes the Lord, who he was to prepare the way for. And suddenly, John seems confused. Jesus requests to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you.
John just becomes more and more confused. This wasn't what John had been expecting. This wasn't in accordance with the instructions that he thought he had been given. But Jesus responds, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all of righteousness." Matthew 3:15. In other words, Jesus is telling John, this is what you were sent to do. This is the fulfillment of your mission. There was something inherent about John's baptizing Jesus that prepared the way for Jesus. But John is still confused. His baptism was forgiveness of sin. But Jesus didn't need to be baptized for that reason. Jesus hadn't sinned. Jesus was God in the flesh. Why would Jesus need to have John baptize him? Well, Jesus' baptism by John was the beginning of his ministry. Mark 1:1 starts out with the words, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And then Mark proceeds to tell us about Jesus' baptism of John. By John. At this point in Jewish history, water baptism served one of three purposes. First, there was the baptism of repentance. This was what John the Baptist was preaching. But of course, Jesus didn't need to repent because he hadn't sinned. The second kind of baptism were people who desired to convert to Judaism. It was the baptism of conversion. If you were Gentile and you wanted to convert to Judaism, you were baptized in the water. But Jesus didn't need to be converted to Judaism because he had been born a Jew. So for what other reason would a person back then be baptized by water? The only other people who experienced baptism in the Jewish faith in those days were the priests. The third kind of baptism, the law dictated that especially the high priest was to be washed in water. In Leviticus 8:6, we are told that by the instruction of God, Moses brought Aaron and his sons forward and washed them in the water. Later during the ceremony, Moses poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him and consecrated him. This enacted Aaron's ministry as a high priest. When Aaron and his sons were washed with water and anointed with oil, they began their priesthood and were empowered to make sacrifices and handle holy things as God's representatives. At that point, God put his mark of approval on the ministry of Aaron and his sons. The Bible tells us that Jesus' ministry began with his baptism by John, the beginning of his ministry as a high priest. After his baptism, the Father anointed Jesus from on high with the Holy Spirit, descending in the form of a dove. And the Father put his mark of approval on Jesus by loudly declaring, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." In Matthew 3:17. Hebrews 4:14 tells us, "We have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." From the day of his baptism by John at the Jordan until his death on the cross, Jesus as our high priest prepared the ultimate sacrifice for sins, his own body. So why? Why should we care whether or not Jesus went through this ritual at the Jordan River? Well, it should matter to us because it mattered to God. Jesus could even easily have skipped this formality. After all, it was just a ritual. Actually, no. This was more than a ritual. This was a sacred ceremony. This is why John the Baptist had been sent. This was ultimately why John was baptizing down at the Jordan. Jesus came specifically to John for the purpose of being baptized by him. And this event was so important to God that the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and the voice of God thundered from heaven. At this ritual, this sacred ceremony was not to be put off. Jesus said, "Let it be now," Matthew 3:15. At once, immediately, without delay. This ritual was so important to God that it was not to be delayed. You know, there are a lot of who regard our being baptized in water as just a mere ritual. They don't think it has any importance at all. But the importance of baptism for the Christian is hard to miss. In fact, there are significant things that take place at our baptism. Jesus, just as Jesus' baptism began his ministry as high priest, our baptism begins our ministry as priests of God. 1 Peter 2:9 declares, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." And Revelation 1, 5 and 6 says, "Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." You see, our baptism initiated us into our ministry as priests in the same way it initiated Aaron and his sons into their ministry. In addition to this, Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned," in Mark 16. And when the crowd at Pentecost asked what they should do, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2:38. Unique things take place when we're baptized. Paul wrote, "All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ," Galatians 3. And in Romans 6, he declares, "All of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So in baptism, we clothe ourselves with Jesus. And in baptism, we are buried with Jesus into death and risen into a new life. And just as God honored Jesus by having the Holy Spirit descend upon him at the Jordan, we are baptized into Christ. We receive his Holy Spirit as well. Peter told the crowd at Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2. When we're baptized into Christ, God gives us the Holy Spirit as a sign that he has accepted us as his children. A woman once took her 4-year-old daughter to a baptismal service at her church. Later that night, her daughter took all of her dolls into the bathtub with her and held her own baptism. As she dunked each of the dolls in the water, she repeated what she had heard. "Now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and hold your nose." In Matthew 3:15, Jesus says, "Let it be so now." At once, immediately, without delay. Why the sense of urgency? Why was this ritual, this sacred ceremony, not put off? Why was it so important to God that it was not delayed? Because this wasn't a ritual, it was a sacred ceremony. It was an acceptance of God's free gift of salvation that we should treasure. It was something which God decided, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now." A man rushed into a suburban railroad station one morning, and he was almost breathless. He asked the ticket agent, "What time does the 801 train leave?" The man answered, "801. Well, the man replied, "My watch says it's 7:59. The town clock says that it's 8:04. The station says it's 8:07. Which am I to go by?" "You can go by whichever clock you wish."
but you ain't going on to 801 because it's already left.
2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. You don't have a lot of time. Don't look at your own watch because it's slow. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So this season of Advent should serve as a stern warning for us to get our house in order, to get our lives in order. What good is it if we have knowledge, if our heart isn't right when he decides to come? Behold, now is the accepted time. Are you ready? Amen. Gathered together in the presence of our Shepherd God, who calls us each by name and who restores our souls, who leads us in the way of righteousness, and whose goodness and love never stop pursuing us. This is the God we have come to worship. Participation in this meal is for all who confess their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life. All who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them. All who would walk with love and with their neighbors and intended to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, are invited to draw near with faith and to receive the Holy Sacrament. Come this morning to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not to your righteousness, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and you desire to be a true disciple. Come not because you're strong, but come because you are weak. Not because you have any claims on the grace of God, but because your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. Come not to express your opinion, but to seek God's presence and pray for the Spirit. Would you all please now stand for our affirmation of faith found on page 878. O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts that they may be a sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast where with all your saints we will be gathered in glory everlasting, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor, glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, Paul goes on to tell us that he took the cup after supper, and he said, "This is the cup in the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And Paul reminds us that whenever we eat this bread or we drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again.
Eat the body of Christ broken for you. bow in prayer with me, please? Loving Lord, you graciously fed us this morning. You who have received the holy mysteries with the bread and life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, and by the loving power of your Spirit. Amen. Would you please recite together our reaffirmation of faith for all members? It is found in our bulletin. Let our interactions with others
be based on Colossians 3:11. Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and over all these virtues, put on our love. We promise to love, to listen to each other in your empathy, patience, and respect.
joy. Give it back to them. These ladies work really hard.
Guy's got a hard act to follow.
That was the last song.
You guys got to do a good job, or we're going to make you go through that class. Father God, we take this opportunity to give back to you. Thank you for being able to share with each other, and the joy, and the dance, and the children. We just lift that all up to you, Father. Father God, what joy there is in this church today, what joy there is in being able to give back to you. We thank you and praise you for the many blessings that you give us, and thank you for the opportunity to give back, Father. It's in your name that we pray today and gather. Amen.
Glory to the new.
join me in our benediction. Take your encouragement from Christ, that your joy may be complete.
We will share in His Spirit. We will find consolation in love.
Practice a ministry of humility and compassion, for God is at work in you, empowering you.
We will welcome Christ in our hearts. We will live lives worthy of the gospel. We will go forth in hope and in peace. Amen.
Remember the meeting afterwards, but we are going downstairs for coffee and refreshments first. So come back about 11:30. Thank you.